Hi there, and welcome to the Right Side of Zero. This is the first summary of the year. This is a summary of the week of the 1st of January. So welcome back. If this is your first time on the Right Side of Zero, I welcome you, and I appreciate if you press the link to subscribe is the best way to support this podcast. I do a podcast every day, but they're all in Spanish. So once a week, I do a summary, which is in English. I hope you enjoy the show, or I hope you enjoy this podcast. So the first day of the year, I did a summary of an interview by Tim Ferriss. He spoke with Matt Mullenweg. I mentioned the fact that I was looking for something new and different instead of what I noticed was that all the podcasts were doing a repeat, and they were just either talking about their best shows or just replaying what they consider was their most popular show of the year. Tim Ferriss had a brand new conversation with Matt, talking about a sabbatical that Matt has taken. Matt Mullenweg is the founder of WordPress. And WordPress, as of today, handles and manages about 33%, so about a third of all web pages worldwide. So WordPress has been quite successful. And Matt is a very interesting person. And he just sounds very cool. You know, he talks about these terms and conditions, you know, these very extensive and long agreements that we just sort of scroll through and click accept at the end. He says that he leaves Easter eggs within these contracts and agreements. So I mentioned the fact that I'm going to be opening a webpage. I'm probably going to do it through WordPress. So I'm going to be reading through those agreements, those law contracts, a small print, to see if I can find such an Easter egg and see what the benefit is. I thought that was pretty cool. So they talk about the benefits of doing a sabbatical. And I did 2 days of this interview. It was fantastic. As always, I leave the links to all these episodes if you want to listen to the entire podcast. Most of the podcasts I listen to are long format, which means they're 2 to 3 hours long. So these are just brief summaries. One of the benefits of a sabbatical is that when you come back after 2-3 months of being away from your post, that in your absence, people will notice things that need to be worked on, things that need to be improved. And then when you come back also with a fresh perspective and renewed energies to keep going working and making progress. Okay, so the next day, on the second or third, because I did 2 days of the Tim Ferriss episode, I think it was one of those 3-hour-long shows. So on the third of the year, I did a summary of a Stephen Bartlett podcast where he talks with Dr. Will Buciewicz. Dr. Will Buciewicz is an expert on the microbiome. And it was fantastic. It was also a very long podcast, but it was fascinating. It was very different because they were just talking about the microbiome. But he said that, if you look at your thumb, and your thumb is covered in bacteria, there are more bacteria on the surface of your thumb than the population of the UK. And actually, I haven't looked at the population of the UK, but he didn't give any numbers. The number he did give, he gave 2 references which were quite impressive. In your intestines, there are 38 trillion bacteria in your intestines. And your poop, they talked a lot about poop, your poop is 60% bacteria. And you know how tiny bacteria is for your poop to be 60%? It's just like more than 50% of what goes in your toilet is bacteria. That is just mind-boggling. But anyway, I really enjoyed this podcast. There's so much information. And just take note of the following. You need to eat about 30 to 35 different types of fiber in a week. And I am plant-based, so for me, it's quite doable. But I think everybody can do this. I mean, if you think about, you know, a variety of beans and this guy, Dr. Will Bulsiewicz, he praises legumes like beans and lentils and, I consider them a type of beans. But he talks, you know, like black beans and red kidney beans and lima beans and all types of beans. He's like, this is like the perfect food. And you know what amazes me is that other people sort of consider them like, I don't know, they sort of reject beans. But the fact is that you need to eat every single type of bean, every single type of green vegetable, every single type of mushroom, every single type of fruit, every single type of root, like carrots and potatoes, every single type of seed, every single type of, oh, I forget the other type, the other category. But, you know, wherever rice falls into and wheat fall into. They all represent different kinds of fibers. For example, apples have a different kind of fibers. Papayas have a different kind of fiber than apples. Or like if you do lettuce, it has a different kind of fiber than arugula. And arugula has a different kind of type of fiber than cucumbers and different than from celery and different from, you know, different vegetables. And radishes have a different type of fiber than potatoes. And potatoes have a different kind of fiber than carrots. And the same goes for beans, like red kidney beans have a different kind of fiber than lima beans, than garbanzos, than pigeon peas, than. So if you just vary every day on the type of vegetables, fruits, seeds, mushrooms, and he also mentioned seaweed, which is more common over in Asian countries. Those have a particular kind of fiber as well. But what he's saying, and pay attention to this, take note of this, eating fiber is the best thing you can do for your microbiome. And your health is directly related to your microbiome. And he mentions an experiment. Oh my God, you can notice that my little summary is just being like very focused on this episode because I think it's so like, I love the whole eating and nutrition and health. It's just, I'm really into it. But this experiment they did with rats, like they took, and then there were some creepy things they talked about anyway, like transplanting poop from humans to humans and putting them in capsules like vitamins. I'm sorry, but that was just wrong. But anyway, they're exploring the subject matter and actually collecting. I'll mention this later. So the experiment with rats, they took excrement. So the bacteria from the excrement from someone who's fat, and they had two similar rats or mice they were in the same type of shape and they ate the same kind of food and they were very healthy. And what they did is that they took the bacteria from one person into that rat, into that mouse, and then they took the excrement from someone who was healthy and fit and put it into the other one. And the rats kept eating the same thing they had been eating. They kept the same routine they had. And the rat that got the bacteria from the person who was fat turned fat. That's how much effect your microbiome has on your health. So if you can transform your microbiome into the type of microbiome that keeps you healthy, because your microbiome will look that will, like, if you feed your microbiome with healthy foods, with fibers, if you make sure to get those 30 to 35 different types of fibers in your system, you will get a more diverse kind of microbiome that will help with your health. So they've noticed that people who live in rural areas, and think about Aborigines in like Australia type kind of thing, or like Aborigines in Africa, they have a more diverse microbiome than people who live in cities. So they're actually collecting their poops for posterity. Like, if, because what's happening is, like, the same way that we're losing our animal biodiversity and flora biodiversity, we're starting to affect our microbiome diversity. And it's been decreasing and decreasing, and that affects our health. We need a more diverse microbiome. And people who live in cities have a less diverse microbiome than people who live in rural or in the countryside. So anyway, I thought those were two very interesting. Again, I would leave the link to the different podcasts in case you're interested in listening to them. Then on Thursday, I did a summary of the Ezra Klein podcast where he spoke with Chris Miller about the geopolitical drama of the production of super micro chips, like chips, computer chips. Like, my reference is to computer chips, but chips nowadays, microchips, are in everything that's technological. Like, this cell phone I'm holding in my hand has several chips. The refrigerator in my kitchen has chips. The alarm clock, my iPad, and anything, like the radio, the speakers, the dishwasher, the dryer, everything that's an electrical, like your watch, if you wear one of these Fitbit type things that monitors and tracks your health, it has chips in it. Your air conditioning, your remote control for your TV, your car is full of chips. And there was a crisis recently, a shortage of chips, and car production was affected. So why is this so relevant? And why is there a geopolitical drama around the production of microchips? Microchips are crucial to the kind of lifestyle we have right now. And 90% of all advanced microchips are produced by a company called TSMC from Taiwan. And the United States took measures to prevent that China kept stealing intellectual property on chip production. Because, like, legal measures were taken against China, and China was like, we don't care about your legal measures, we'll keep doing what we're doing. So what the United States did was, like, restrict the supply of certain materials to China. And China right now is being affected by this United States policy. And taking over Taiwan might actually affect chip production worldwide if 90% of the world's advanced microchips are made by this TSMC company in Taiwan. The other large chip producers are Samsung in Korea and Intel in the United States. But they're far behind where TSMC is at. And they mentioned the reason why this company in Taiwan is so advanced is that they focus only on production. They did not care about investing or dedicating time to the development and the improvement of the technologies. They are just full-fledged producers. So they're really good at what they're doing. Okay, so worldwide, if this company suffers some kind of whatever you want to call obstacle or situation where they cannot produce on the level that they're producing, everything from cell phones to cars to pads to TV sets will be affected. And all this, I'm sure that everything that has to do with crypto mining and artificial intelligence and computers will be affected. Just think about 90% of all microchips, which just surround our everyday life. Our lifestyle is supported by microchips. So it's a huge issue worldwide. Anyway, again, we'll leave the link to that podcast if you want to listen to it. And then on Friday, I did a quick episode of the Chris O'Connell Show, his podcast. It's the first time I listened to one of his podcasts. He spoke with Dion Slater. They are both trauma survivors. Like, they had really horrible upbringings. Dion spoke about her mother being suicidal, being a drug addict. Her father abandoned the family when she was just 9 months old. She ended up doing drugs herself and surviving or making money as a prostitute. And her life got so, like, to a point where she wanted to escape. And she chose the path her mother had taken, which was the one of being suicidal. So she tried to take her life. And at the moment that I think she spoke about wrist slitting. Not sure about that. Again, the link will be there. But she tried to take her life. And the dog, which was outside the room, noticed that something was going on, started barking. She had a dog. And the dog noticed something was wrong and started barking and started scratching the door like he wanted in. He wanted to be with her. And she had the dog to help her change her mind. Like, she credits her dog for saving her life because she realized that she was being selfish. Like, she was provider for the dog. She was a caregiver. She had a duty to take care of the dog. And she realized how selfish she was being, and so she stopped the whole process. So it gave her time to, like, go get, like, medical help and fix, like, whatever she had done to herself because of her dog. And nowadays she sounds so, like, you know, stable and so, like, open about all these things. And the fact is that she's a coach, and you can hire her for seminars and for one-on-ones. And so she helps people deal with her childhood traumas that are affecting, might be affecting people in their adult lives. She does say that she still has moments where her low self-esteem might just pop up again. And she speaks about a current relationship she's had and the different signs of her trauma coming up. She's like a control freak, and it manifests on, like, being very disorganized or trying to embark on a project and sort of losing interest right away, and then sort of getting enthused with something else and then losing interest right away. And all these things are signs of trauma, and they sort of come up and go away every once in a while. And then I finished the week with a podcast, a summary of the Dr. Rangan Chatterjee podcast, where he talks with Dr. Chris Van Tulleken about UPFs. UPFs are ultra-processed foods. And again, I love the subject of food and nutrition and health. And the whole podcast is about avoiding ultra-processed foods. So the thing is, throughout the history of humanity, we have been processing foods. Like, there's a certain degree of treatment that we give to foods, which is normal in terms of processing. Like cooking food, like heating it up, it's a basic level of processing. Or if you ferment food, that's a basic level of fermenting. And it's a perfect fit for us. Like, we've evolved with a certain level of processing food, and it's actually healthy for us. I mean, I want to avoid saying that raw foods are either better or worse. You can eat raw foods, and but the thing is that we've taken processing food to a whole new level. And Dr. Tulleken has this ongoing fight or mission or confrontation with the government and with large companies. He actually talks, like Dr. Rangan Chatterjee actually gave an example of a family that came to see him, and they actually brought a box of something they bought at the supermarket. And the box said, heart healthy. And, you know, there's a whole conversation during the podcast about how we can sort of, like, it really depends on how aware we are of the intentions of these large companies and how they can get away with putting heart healthy on a box of something that is completely industrialized and ultra processed. And if you read the ingredients on the boxes, it's just a whole bunch of things that we can't even pronounce or understand what they are. But they mention things like, they read the ingredients on like Cocoa Puffs. And what that made me think about was, when I was a kid, I used to eat a cereal, which I don't know if it's still available or not, but the cereal played it like it was a multivitamin, because it was called Total, and every single vitamin, like, it contained, the cereal box claimed it was providing 100% of vitamin A you needed, 100% of vitamin B you need, 100% of vitamin D you need, 100% of all the vitamins you need, and close to 100% of all the minerals you need. It was like you felt you were buying something that was nutritious and that was beneficial for your health. And what he says, and what we need to know, is that ultra processed foods are just bad for your health. They are fake, they are poison, and it's just, we need to look for things that are just minimally processed. For example, I buy a product, sauerkraut, and the ingredients are water, salt, and cabbage. Those are the only three ingredients, and it has that USDA organic logo in it. So there's an added kind of relief that there's just three ingredients and it's USDA organic, because I am also trying to avoid foods that are, you know, full of pesticides. And USDA organic sort of gives me a little bit more of comfort that there's less than, hopefully no pesticides, but that it has to be better than those which are unlabeled as USDA organic. But anyway, I've looked at other sauerkrauts in the market, and they have like 6, 7, 8 ingredients, and some of them are just chemicals. And it's like, why? If you can have a brand that can bring sauerkraut, which, and they talk about making it at home, and which I would look into it, because I think it would be great if I can just have jars of fermented cabbage and other like radishes and carrots and garlic. It would just be awesome to have my own homemade. That would be great. But if a brand can bring to you a sauerkraut, which is made by three ingredients, just water, salt, and cabbage, without anything else in it, then I think all the other brands can certainly do it. They mentioned something else. They mentioned how some ingredients, they say like flavorings, and they seem to make it sound like it's like natural flavor. And what Dr. Tulleken says is like, there's absolutely, it's like the farthest thing from natural. Like flavor is what a fruit has inherent in it. When you bite into an apple, a watermelon, raspberries, blueberries, whatever fruit you want to, you bite into it and there's flavor in it. And what they're doing is that they're extracting the flavor. Sometimes they want to make it seem like they're taking the flavor from the fruit and putting it into the product. And that's just unnatural as it is. But most of the time, they're just making or mimicking the flavor of the fruit with chemicals. And they're calling it natural flavoring. And it's just like, we need to look for food that's minimally processed. And just remember that. And that was the point of that podcast. So I'm ending this summary of the first week of January 2024. Remember, if you've reached this point in the podcast, I appreciate it if you can subscribe. The English version comes out every Sunday. So Sunday at night, so you'll probably have it available during Monday. But thank you very much for being here at the Right Side of Zero. We'll meet again here. Hope you're well, and thank you very much.